So what's your excuse? I just feel like the Lord really is working through everything this morning here, and it's really coming together. I feel like I could just dismiss you and we'd have plenty, but I want to share what the Lord has laid on my heart in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. I'd like to turn there and read the first several verses of this chapter. So that we get a little understanding of what Paul's saying here. We're actually going to be looking at this verse in a few Sundays. But I want us to think about this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. I want us to think this morning about running to win. We live in a country where athletics is one of the main gods. Everything involves around athletics. It's quite common in homes to, as children grow up, to have every night of the week some kind of athletic activity, practice or game or something that's happening. And so we understand this whole concept of competition. We understand the concept of commitment to athletics. But I think we miss something here that Paul was thinking of when he wrote this, because even though we have this concept in our country, it doesn't go to the extent that existed in Paul's day. To the Romans, it became life and death. Games were not just athletic competition. They often ended in one person's death, or more people's death. The competition died. So we need that kind of a context here to think about this. And I appreciate, Larry, you having that testimony, requesting that testimony this morning. I think it gives us a good backdrop to this whole concept. Because it's so easy to be lazy. It's so easy to be careless. It's so easy to think that things are unimportant. And Paul is calling us, and that's one of the reasons I chose this message this morning, is because all that we're learning from the book of Hebrews as we study it is not just information. It's not something that just, you know, kind of picks us up and gets us going again. These are things that are here for life lessons and life purpose. So let's ask ourselves some questions here. Not working there, Austin. Okay, we think about athletes, we think about stadiums, we think about crowds, we think about trophies and rules and all the things that go along with athletics. And these things are all important for us, but let's just ask ourselves, if the race you were running, You'd been chosen to run in a race, and it's a one-time event. What kind of preparation would you put into that? What kind of effort would you give that? You knew this was your only chance. And for a lot of the Olympic athletes, that is the case. They train for years and years and years for one event. But if we were doing that, if we knew that we were doing that, what would that look like? If the stadium where we were running the race was packed out with all these people that had run the race before, what would that do for us? You know, the one picture I had was an empty stadium. If you were running in an empty stadium compared to running in a stadium where there was all these people that had run the race successfully and they were cheering you on, what difference do you think that would make in how you ran? Athletes often give up things that they would love to have or do because if they don't, they're not going to train properly. You know, they only eat certain foods, they sleep certain hours, they have all kinds of things, and they end up giving up a lot of things. Would that change the race for you? Would you say, oh, sorry, I'm not giving that up. I don't care whether I win or lose, I'm not giving that up. What would you allow into your life that would hinder you from finishing the race? Would you say, well, big deal, I'm not going through all that training. I'm going to eat the foods that I shouldn't eat, all this, and about halfway through the race, you clunk out. If the all-time winner of the race would be there personally with you 24/7, 365, how would that change your race? How would that affect you? What would that look like? Does the way I run the race say anything at all about the importance with which I view the race? Obviously, yeah, it does. You know, if the U.S. had chosen an athlete to represent them on the Olympic team, and that guy showed up and he was way overweight and he could hardly walk and he is sickly, and we'd say the guy didn't value what he was chosen for, right? Now, he tells us here in this verse, he says there's a, and remember he starts out with the word wherefore, so he's looking back to the people of faith. All those people of faith that went before, Abraham, Moses, and on, people of faith. He said, we're surrounded with this great cloud of witnesses. There's all these people that have run the race that are there watching. Martyrs are included in that. He says, because of that, I'm not quite ready for that. Because of that, we need to lay aside, or we need to get rid of, anything that hinders us from running the race. Peter talks about this. He says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, he says, lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Sorry. Some of us need to lay down some things. There's some things that are stopping us from running the race well. They're hindering us. Let us lay aside every weight And it's interesting, there's several words here that are the only usage in the Bible. The weight is one of them. He's talking about a burden or something that hinders us. If the guy that was chosen to run the race in the Olympics showed up and he had this great big backpack on, you know, weighed about 100 pounds, we'd say, "Hey man, you gotta take that thing off if you're gonna run." He's like, "No, this is fine." That's what Paul is picturing for us here. He's saying, look, we are in a race. The Christian life, the Christian walk is something of a race. But he tells us other places that it's not a race where one person wins, but everyone who completes the race wins. So we're talking about that kind of a thing. He says we need to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And sin is obviously wrongdoing. That part of us that needs to be yielded to Jesus Christ and crucified. But he says, sin which besets us. And the idea is there of a competitor that is thwarting us or stopping us, hindering us from winning the race. So he's saying, look, you need to get rid of the weight and the sin. So there's the weight would be something that we carry, a burden, and the sin would be something that's interfering with us running the race. And you need to run with patience. By the way, that beset there is also the only time used in the Bible, that word. We need to run with patience. The idea is there hopeful endurance or constancy. Not giving up. Peter says, add to your temperance patience. Same word. Endurance, keeping on. Now I want us to notice several things real quickly. First of all, God gives strength for the race. He's not asking us to do this by ourselves. Did you notice the testimony? What did he say? What began to change in his life as he came to Christ and as he experienced the work of God in his life? What changed? Okay, but did it all just change at once? No. His attitudes began to change. All of a sudden, he wasn't wanting to die. He was wanting to live. His outlook changed. Just things began to change. God was giving him strength for the race. Here's what David said in Psalm 18, verse 29. For by thee I have run through a troop. Oh, wow. You talk about somebody hindering your race? Somebody trying to stop you? Somebody getting in your way? Don't think I want to do that, run through a troop. That sounds a little scary. But David said, by you I've run through a troop. By my God I have leaped over a wall. Somebody put a wall on the track. And David said, I'm going on. I'm not stopping. I'm headed to the end. So God gives us strength for the race. This is something I want us to think about. I don't know if I ever thought about this in quite this way. The sun is a daily reminder for us of the race. Psalm 19, verse 5. He's talking about the sun. He says, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. So every morning when you see the sun come up, it should be a reminder to you that you're there to run your race. Has the sun ever failed to run the race? Every day it comes up and goes down. It runs its race every day. So he's using that for a lesson for us. So when you look at the sun coming up in the morning, say, God, give me strength to run my race today. That's a good object lesson, something for us to take hold of and to live by. It takes a touch from God to win this race. This race is not something we can do on our own. It's not possible. It is not possible. And one of the things that Paul is doing in Hebrews is he's showing us how it's not possible to run this race on our own strength. We cannot complete this race by living under the law. We cannot complete this race by living under all the things that come under the old covenant. If you notice in the verses following verse 1, he talks about looking unto Jesus, the beginner and ender, the author and finisher of our faith. He ran the race that was set before him. He started in the power of God. He finished in the power of God. And he endured the whole thing, completed with patience the race that was set before him. Psalm 119, verse 32. I will run the way of thy commandments, and thou wilt enlarge my heart. Now, he's not talking about a sickness where we have enlarged heart. He's talking about a touch from God where God gives grace. I will run the way of thy commandments because you've touched my heart. So we need that touch from God in order to run the race. Trusting God changes the way we run. And that's one of the lessons of Hebrews, is this whole idea of looking to Jesus, trusting God, not living under our own abilities, under our own power, under the constriction of the law, but living in freedom under Christ. It frees us to run. Isaiah 40, 31. They that wait upon the Lord run with patience. Usually we think of patience as waiting. Just sitting there waiting. That's patience to us. You know, we tell our children, be patient, be patient. You know, just wait till it comes. That's not what he's talking about. They that wait upon the Lord, those who trust in God, who patiently endure. And he gives Job as an example of one who patiently endured. He kept on going even though things looked totally against him, even though he struggled with all of that. They that wait upon the Lord, those who have learned to run with patient endurance, shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Anybody here that can do that? Run and not be weary? No. We get tired when we run. But he says if you trust in the Lord, if you look to Him, it changes the way you run, because you can run without becoming weary. You can run, you can walk, you can continue on without losing strength. So that changes the whole picture of the race, doesn't it? Because most of us, when we start to run, it isn't long till we're huffing and puffing and we're saying, oh, done with this. It's too much. Some of us can go longer, but we all come to the place where we're done. We can't go anymore. But he says if we trust the Lord, He'll make it easy for us to run. He'll make it easy for us to finish the race. Now, he's not saying that we don't have to run anymore. He's just simply saying we can have strength to run from learning to trust. Oh, here's an interesting thing. You think it's tough now? Having a hard time running the race? Jeremiah talked to the people, chapter 12, verse 5. He said, if you run with the footmen and you're tired, what's going to happen when you have to run with horses? It's all right to run a race with other people, right? How many of you want to race a horse? Sounds kind of scary, right? But Jeremiah is asking this. If in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, what are you going to do in the swelling of Jordan? In other words, if you're having a difficult time running when things are easy, what are you going to do when it gets tough? When things really get bad? Let me ask you something. When you look at the testimony this morning, how many of you have it bad? Nobody? You know what that says? That's saying to me? It's saying, you think it's tough now? What's up? What's up? This whole thing is intense. It's not. We're not talking about fun and games. We're not talking about something that is kind of, whatever. It's something that's very intense. Paul says this, know you that those which run in a race, they run all. Everybody runs. One receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. He says this, every man that strives for the mastery, everybody that is trying to win is temperate in all things. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, a trophy that you put on a shelf that one day is going to rot or tarnish or whatever. But we're doing it for an incorruptible. We're running in a race that the prize is something eternal, something that doesn't pass away, something that doesn't end. He says, I therefore run, not as uncertainly. You cut a chicken's head off, and that thing can do things that are absolutely crazy. But it doesn't go anywhere, does it? It goes in circles. It just flops around. It's uncertainly. He said, I don't do it as uncertainly. I'm not fighting like one that's shadow boxing or beating the air, but I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul says, look, we're talking about a race that's intense. It's not some ho-hum thing where we just, whatever. It requires all of our thought, requires all of our action, it requires everything. Now, how many of you here have thought about dropping out of the race? I have. There have been times when the thought came to me, what's the use? Just quit. Forget it. What's the point of keeping on going? And that's something that we struggle with. Paul brought that up to the Galatian church in chapter 5, verse 7. He said, you ran well. You were really going in this race. What hindered you? What stopped you? What stood in your way that you wouldn't obey the truth? He said, you started out in freedom. Now you're going back under the old carnal commandments. What's the matter? What's stopping you from going on and running? And you stop and think about. Again, I just think the Lord was really working here this morning in this testimony. You think about dropping out, and then you think about what He shared. When you think about that, what do you think? Still thinking about dropping out? Not really. How can you? And that's what Paul is sharing with us. And then he shares with us in Philippians chapter 2 that one of these days it's going to be worth it all. This race is tough. This race is hard. This race requires commitment. This race requires continuance and endurance. But he says it's going to be worth it all. Holding forth the word of life, Philippians 2:16, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You and I are called to run to win. Are we committed to that? If we are, someday it's going to be worth it all. If we're not, let's get an attitude adjustment, right? Let's take this thing to the Lord and look to Him and find the strength that He wants to give us. Let's mount up with wings as eagles. Every one of us has stuff. There's things that are there trying to stop us, trying to slow us down, trying to get us off the track, trying to keep us from completing the race. We don't have the same stuff this guy had, but every one of us has stuff. Are we going to let the stuff get in our way, or are we going to run with patience and win? Jesus looked to him. Let's stand together for prayer. Our Father, we want to thank You. We thank You that You've called us to the race through the blood of Jesus Christ, the author of our faith. We thank You, Lord, that You have given to us who trust in You special strength, special grace to mount up with wings like eagles, to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint. And Lord, I have to confess that there have been times when in my own strength I looked around and I decided it'd be easier to drop out, to quit. Help us, Lord, to look to You and find the strength and the grace that we need and to run to win, to determine by the grace of God and by the power of Your Holy Spirit working in our lives to run faithfully until that day when You call us home or when You come for us. We bless Your name. In Jesus' name, amen.